Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know the Lord? Do you really know the Lord? Who's closer than any brother? Closer than any other? Do you really know the Lord? Do you know the King? Do you really know the King? Trusting in Him for everything. Do you really know the King? In a world that's filled with deception and doubt, there's just one way in and one way out. How you live in between, that's what makes life count. Are you living your life knowing Him? Do you know the Lord? Do you really know Him? The one who died to cover your sin. Do you really know the Lord? My friend, get right with Jesus. My friend, get to know the Lord. My friend, get right with Jesus. Before you stand before Him, do you know the Lord? Know the great I am.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on July 17th, 2014. Tonight's topic is going to be, what is the meaning and symbolism of the obelisk? My name is Walt Stickle, and I'm 70 years old. I had a friend of mine say, she said, I have a friend, and if I was to send her to your webpage, what's the most, where do you get started to understand some of what's going on at the symbols and statues in Washington, D.C. and the different things? Well, first of all, you have to be rooted in the Word of God. That's where you get your glasses. But in 1964, I was in the United States Army on a Nike Hercules site. I was sent TDY to Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And it was April of 1964, about 4 months after the assassination of President Kennedy. The reason I picked this topic is because, you know, as I was thinking today about this broadcast, is it really important that somebody understand what an obelisk is? Especially when we have the largest one in the world in Washington, D.C. And, you know, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. You know, some people will say, well, you know, you're too much into intellect. Listen, when we start talking about this obelisk, it's an obelisk. How many can that are listening can actually understand what the obelisk signifies, what it means. Now, tonight's broadcast, you know, it's two parts. Is what is the meaning? If you put obelisk meaning and do a Google search, or if you put symbolism obelisk, it'll take you to the website and the material that I'm going to be using tonight on tonight's broadcast. It's my third most favorite page on my website at granddesignexposed.com. How did I come about putting this together? Well, first of all, I want to go back to when I was 19 years old and in Washington, D.C. Fort Belvoir is about 20 miles. Fort Belvoir is about 20 miles out of Washington, D.C. Every weekend, I went on pass, and I had a friend that had a brand new car, and we went to Washington, D.C. as sightseers every single week. One week, they wanted blood. If you didn't give blood, you didn't get a pass. So, of course, everybody lined up and give a quart. Maybe a pint. I'm stretching that cord a little bit. But so we went to Washington, D.C., and never forget it, climbed to the top of the Washington Monument. At the time, you can't do it anymore. The only way you get to the top of the Washington, D.C., is the elevator. But before World War III started and with the War on Terror, you know, you could climb to the top. I'll never forget, it got kind of faint towards the top. I just give a quart of blood, and I was climbing those stairs. The reason I bring this up is how many people go to Washington, D.C. and understand what they're looking at? If you're going to hide a tree, hide it in the forest. What is that obelisk? I took probably 100 pictures of that obelisk from every different angle. I mean, to me, it was the Washington Monument. I also, the estate of Washington, of George Washington, is about 20 miles from Washington, I think 15, 20. They also have an obelisk at his tomb. So, you know, the thing of it is, it's the innocency. In other words, we are raised in this country thinking that this government is a Christian government. Well, you know, I'm not going to bring that up tonight, okay? But that Washington Monument is not a Christian monument, okay? What does God think about? What does God think about, you know, an obelisk? The second commandment says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." In short, an obelisk is kind of a finger in God's eye. And towards the end of the broadcast, I'm going to read some more what the Bible says in the Old Testament about the obelisk. But I purchased the book about 4 years ago. And it was called The Grand Design Exposed. Now, in the book, in chapter three, and it's got a subtitle called Rome, the Implacable Enemy of God's Truth, Reason for Reformers' Cries. Well, I read the book, but something connected. And in chapter 10 of the book, by the way, the book is The Grand Design Exposed, and the author is John Daniel. In chapter 15, the author's got a subtitle called America's Greatest Shame. And it's on the obelisk in Washington, D.C. And at the top of this page, you know, I have a picture of the dome at the Vatican and the dome at the Washington, D.C. with an obelisk, something side by side to show you the similarities. Why this obelisk? That obelisk at the Vatican was brought there from Alexandria. In about the 1870, a retired Navy officer brought Cleopatra. It's the name of that's the name of this obelisk. Because you see, there's one in London and there's one in New York. in the park. It's in the park there in New York. Excuse me for not connecting on that name of the park. I know it. You know it. But the thing was 50 tons. I mean, these people, and by the way, you know, this obelisk is about religion. And these people that believe in this religion, they go to painstaking, they cost over $102,000 to go over to Alexandria and put this 50-ton, now this is back in there. In the 1800s, you know, they don't have hydraulics and stuff. They got lifts and that. But it took some quite of ingenuity to bring this. They had to cut a hole in the hull of a boat and slide it in there diagonally. And they brought it all the way over here, and it took some 80 days to take it from the Hudson River up to the park there in New York. I can't think of the part, but anyway. And then they had quite a ceremony. Every mason in the county and all around came to celebrate putting this obelisk up. I mean, they had to build a trestle to go across a ravine on one part, and they weren't only making about 100 yards to 200 yards a day. This thing's 50 tons now, you know. You know, it's not like pushing a shopping cart. But the point of bringing this up, these people are serious about this obelisk, okay? And God is very serious about what he thinks of this stuff. You see, signs and symbols rule the sun worship world, not words nor laws. The system we live in is a sun worship system. And the head of it is the papacy. Because that's all Catholicism is all about, is sun worship. It has nothing to do with the Bible. So let's read a little bit here. Let's read a little bit here on the one at the Vatican from the author John Daniel, book The Grand Design Exposed. And the subtitle, like I said, is called Rome, Implacable Enemy of God's Truth, Reason for Reformers' Cries. And if when you go to the website, you'll see I have photos up there. Because when I got this book, I called up the author. And I took these two and I put pictures with it, just like you see on this webpage. Because, see, you see, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And I put about 7,000 words on this page because people can see what we're talking about. And I begin in the book, it says, from your aerial vantage point over the Vatican courtyard, you will also see rising from the center of a hub of this sun wheel in its erect position, a symbol of the occult and sun worship that is highly regarded for its sacred importance. This particular sun symbol was literally uprooted from Egypt and transplanted in Rome, as others were taken to the cities of London, Paris, Constantinople, and Central Park. There it is, Central Park, that I couldn't say. Central Park, New York. It's numerous, like, its numerous look-alikes are popular, used as monuments and memorials for great men, are actually any man that wants to be remembered. A casual walk through any graveyard will vividly show you this. But just what is the significance of the sun symbol? This stone monument, or obelisk, as it is called, especially in certain places where it stands erect before a dome. When I drove truck from 1991 to 2001, I was in Minnesota. That's right out of Austin, Minnesota. I can't think of the exact town that this the address, but Hormel. Everybody knows what Hormel canned bologna and food products, and they canned ham, and you know. Well, one day, I went by there 2 or 3 times, and I was, see, at the time I was studying Freemasonry, see, and you know, that's the Masonic symbol. That's what I thought. That's all I knew. I mean, that's what the Masons used. I mean, but I stopped one day on a on-ramp, parked the truck, walked into this cemetery, and let me tell you, it was like a battle for the obelisk. Who could put the biggest obelisk up? And I took quite a few pictures. But again, not really understanding what it's all about. So continuing in the book, on the next page, being noted that even though the obelisk has been publicly displayed in the most obvious and conspicuous places to be seen, yet in any dictionary or regular encyclopedia, the subject obelisk in its full meaning is just never explained. Only in specialized books and literature do you find its true symbolic significance and what it meant to those who worship the sun. In other words, the obelisk symbol has been purposely displayed for public awareness, but at the same time, its real meaning has been kept from us, or at least kept out of those reference books where most would be normally look. Now, I talked to the author when he came to this obelisk. He did a lot of search, and he couldn't find. He found one book, and the book is called "The Magic of Obelisks" by Peter Tompkins. Now, on the front page of Grand Design Exposed, you're going to find I have chapter 15, and it's kind of the history of the Washington Monument from the time of its inception to the time that George Washington died. I mean, it was almost immediately. It wasn't even cold when they wanted to build this monument, and it took some. It went through the Civil War. I mean, they started it, and it's quite a battle. That's another whole broadcast. But you can go up and read Chapter 15. It's a tremendous read. It'll read better than any novel you've ever written or have ever read. It's a tremendous what the battle that it took to get that obelisk. It's the largest one in the world. Now we'll go, getting back to the third paragraph here. However, the Encyclopedia America 1964 edition showing how the obelisk was related to sun worship explains it like this: a monument representing the sun in ancient Egypt religion. The Egyptians were sun worshipers, regarding the great luminary as the creator of the universe, the maker of all gods above and below, and even the author of himself. The two most striking characteristics, monuments, which represent him on earth were the obelisk and the pyramid. The obelisk is the technical figure of one ray of pencil of light emancipating from the sun. The word obelisk actually means the shaft of Baal, Baal being another way of writing Baal, the Babylonian and Egyptian sun god that all nations followed after. It is interesting fact that the chief temples of Egypt and Babylonian, they were orientated, that is to say, that the temples were built so that the shrine and entrance always faced in the same direction. On one morning in the year and one morning alone, in a temple orientated to the rising place of the sun at midsummer day, the sun's first rays would smite down through the gloom of the temple and down along the alley of the temple pillars to brilliantly illuminate the altar. Thus it was believed that by the pencil of light or shaft of the sun's presence upon the altar, it became impregnated. This solemn even gave assurance of fertility in the land in another fruitful year. But as further evidence that gives proof that the Roman Catholicism is nothing more than disguised sun worship that actually arose from the ruins of Roman paganism. Consider the fact that the Vatican of today and St. Peter Basilica is literally built right over the very grounds of the ancient Vatican Circus. It was here that they held the chariot races to the sun. And as then, so today, St. Peter's is orientated towards the east, that is, so that at the vernal equinox, the great doors can be thrown open at sunrise, and the sun rays passing through the naive will illuminate the high altar. By pagan tradition, an altar symbolizes the female body, which in turn symbolizes Mother Earth. It does not take any great imagination to understand the symbolism of an obelisk standing before a dome, which represents a pregnant woman's belly. Ask yourself, with deep soul searching, what does any of this have to do with true Christianity? Today's worldwide participation in observing calendar dates that have come down to us from ancient Babylonian sun worship tells only too well the influence this system has had upon mankind. Most people today observe these dates as Christian holy days and festivals, when in reality, the dates themselves have nothing to do with Christianity. Christmas and Easter both are good examples of how these sun dates have been twisted and perverted to be recognized as something that is Christian. Yet any good encyclopedia will quickly inform you of the true origin. Now that's in his book talking about the obelisk at the Vatican in Rome. Now we're going to go down to chapter 15, America's Occult Agenda Unmasked, America's Greatest Shame. It's on page 287 to 291 of his book. Now we're reading about America's Greatest Shame. The hidden occult forces that were directly responsible for the birth of the United States of America began to visibly show themselves immediately after independence was won. Within the very governing center itself, the capital city of Washington, D.C., the site chosen in spite of many who fiercely opposed it, occult symbolism was cleverly designed right into the overall layout of the streets and certain occultic architectural structures and monuments to form a gigantic occultic pattern or picture, all of which corresponded with the occultic symbolism and message designed in the nation's great seal. These became not only a memorial and a testimony to the great work of this nation's, but also for the secret work that is destined for its future. The boldness with which the leaders of the new republic so arrogantly displayed their occultic symbolism to be represented at the very heart and soul of what was America speaks loudly for itself and their contempt. In their veiled communication, intended only for the initiated few. Remember when Walt went there when he was 19 years old, I had no idea what all this meant. And the average person that goes to Washington, D.C. doesn't. So, in their veiled communication, intended only for the initiated few, it makes now known that the grand design is progressing and is on schedule as planned, regardless of the great masses that oppose it. But what is most puzzling is that Protestants, who have always boasted that America was founded on Protestant principles and Bible Christianity, never challenge or speak a word against the prominent occultic symbolism that is so glaringly decorated our nation's capital and literally makes up the Great Seal. It brings home the same. That if you want to hide a tree, plant it in the forest. When today these occultic monuments and symbolisms are there quite visible for all to see, yet curiously, no one seems to see them at all. Protestantism, that should be enlightening their fellow Americans of their pending peril, have instead abandoned them to grope in utter darkness. You know, today, I said today, because, you know, I'm speaking from a Bible perspective to God's children. But even somebody in the secular world, take another look at Washington, D.C. and what these symbols mean. And the answer to what's going on here is in God's Word. The next paragraph is, to those not familiar with occultic adornments that have been so graciously bestowed upon the capital city of the United States of America by the founding fathers that have now become our occultic national heritage, all you need is a street map of Washington, D.C. and marking pen to highlight a number of the streets to reveal the intended veiled occultic picture. Beginning at the White House, highlight the two streets going from a V. And I'm not going to read this next paragraph. I'll finish at the end here. But the point that I'm going to make here, if you go to Google Earth, and you go to Washington, D.C., you will see what this author is talking about. They can't hide it. What you have now revealed is the universal known satanic symbol of the inverted pentagram. Pause for a moment and ponder the full significance of what the most sacred satanic symbol laying before you means. Aghast. It begins to penetrate you as you realize that the satanic image on the map is actually a supersized reality that the very heartbeat of the United States government. It is the USA signature of approval, dark and hidden for every prolific movement in our society today, and it's preposterous for what is in store for this nation's future. It's not some child's play who has drawn an imaginary star in the sky to wish upon. This mammoth inverted five-pointed star is real, embedded right in the streets of the capital city of a rising world superpower by mature men, designed to convey a clear and precise message for a special purpose to the occult world. No other nation in the world has such a street layout or has been chosen for such a diabolical future work. Think about this, too. The highest award this government can bestow upon a person is the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is an inverted pentagram, which is also an inverted pentagram. And you'll see it on this. I've got a picture of it. As all Satanists and those in the occult know, within the center of every pentagram, which they call the blazing star, there is formed the Pentagon. It is inside the center of the pentagram, or Pentagon, wherein witchcraft, witches, and warlocks go to cast their spells. And as a symbol of freedom and to more readily achieve their built-up power and certain sexual tensions, the participants only perform naked. Witchcraft and astrology being nothing more than a form of Babylonian mystery religious sun worship. Within it is taught that the sun god and moon goddess created the whole universe. To honor this belief, the high priest in a coven, and by the way, a high priest is a Pontiff Maximus. The Pope of Rome calls himself the Pontifex Maximus, a high priest. Keep that in mind when I read this next paragraph. To honor this belief, the high priest in a coven is believed to be the incarnation of the sun god in the high priestess, that the incarnation of Queen of Heaven, our moon goddess. To mimic or simulate the creation act, the abominable ritual is performed called the Great Rite. When these two engage in sexual activities, this sacred prostitution is justified. This sacred prostitution is justified by them on the grounds of fertility and phallism, the veneration and worship of the male and female sex organs, which all sun worship philosophy is based on. And remember, Roman Catholicism is just nothing but Babylonian sun worship. It has nothing to do with the biblical Bible. The pentagram and pentagon are associated with the number five. The pentagram being a five-pointed star and the pentagon having five sides. Ancient Babylon was the birthplace of astrology, the zodiac, the horoscope, and numerology that was substituted for divining the future instead of the word of the true God. Originally, the letters of the various alphabets had a numerical value. Some still do today, like the Roman numerals. But Babylonian astrology taught that the chief gods of the zodiac, which were but emanations of the sun god, as they serpentined their way through the zodiacal band, all had a sacred number, and the most sacred number that was applied to the sun god incarnate are Pontifex Maximus, meaning the highest of sun worship, high priest. So the Pontifex Maximus and no other is important to us because it is referred to in Scripture. But the number five was associated with the planet Mars, the god of war. Thus, the symbol of the five-sided pentagon, which houses the largest office building in the world, covering 34 acres for the United States of America, Department of Defense, just outside Washington, D.C., that is so important and significant to the elite occultist. And they broke ground. This is not in the book, but they broke ground for the Pentagon. It's either 1941 or 1943, but it was September 11th. It is comforting to know that though Freemasonry and the Jesuits, it is comforting to know that even through Freemasonry and the Jesuits, these front organizations for the Church of Rome have shrouded their sinister intentions around mysterious occult symbols. It is no dark secret plan for America and the world to those who want to understand the predictions of Scripture. For the sovereign God of creation and the universe has wonderfully laid out for his people to see 2,000 years ago precisely what they're going to do just before our Lord's return. The single fact alone is enough to prove which God is true from those that are false. But people today, without heaven's compass, are being swept away into believing that for the good and sake of all mankind and preservation of Mother Earth, we must not think and act as individuals who believe there is an out, but one who died, but there is but one who died on the cross for the sin of the world, one alone who is the Son of God, one alone who is uniquely the way, the truth, and the life. To serve and obey the God of creation as the true God above all others is to be branded as an isolationist and a separationist and denounced as dangerous to world peace. But some people call it a radical reformers. How preposterous. But rather we must now act as a global community, not giving offense to other religions, but must all conform to the one interdependent global structure of the wise ones, the New World Order and its united religion organization that is leading the world into its blind alley of doom. And to usher in this corruptible fruit of 6,000 years of man's labor and to fully convince us that it is heaven sent, they have concocted a special dive event, a global delusion that will startle and jolt the inhabitants of the world in headlong obedience. As already mentioned, occult sun worship honors and dignifies fertility rites and promiscuous sexual activities in the belief and teaching that the Father Sun God benevolently impregnates Mother Earth for the purpose of supplying all nature with a substance of sustaining life. Otherwise, all nature would die. All occultists, Satanists, witches, and warlocks believe this. In fact, they vigorously promote free sex of every question as a reenactment of Father, Son, and Mother Earth's sex act. To anyone unfamiliar with these beliefs and teachings, raw sex is quite shocking to the senses. However, when the most powerful and wealthy people of the world are occultists who are silently bulldozing this superstitious corruption upon the inhabitants of the world, and you see it enough, the senses then become dulled. But when you understand what is going on, it comes as no surprise that the President of the United States and Congress can enact laws to teach sex education to children, endorse and promote homosexuality under civil rights laws, and legally bring raw sex right into your living room through the television. All of this blatant immorality is just another way to make mockery of the true God. Phallism, the veneration and worship of the male and female sex organs, is just another perverted doctrine of sun worship. And even though the nation of Egypt must receive the glory, for its development, their origin actually took place in Babylon. But like all real life, extraordinary events that make inevitably impressions upon men's minds. The story will then live on through succeeding generations to finally become a legend to understand Egyptian phallism and their world-renowned obelisk as its symbol, including the world's largest in Washington, D.C. Understand the Egyptian legend and the Babylonian reality that give birth to the Egyptian legend. Now, here's some Bible verses. What does Scripture say about the obelisk? Ye shall make you, this is Leviticus 26, verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Does it get any clearer? Deuteronomy 12, verses 2 to 3. Utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars. Pillars, that's the obelisk. And burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Have you ever heard of a movement in the United States to tear down these obelisks? Have you ever heard a TV evangelist campaigning? No, it's not there. It's not there. Because they're involved. They're spirit guides. They've been taught at seminaries. Seminaries and Bible colleges, and every single one are teaching futurism. Leviticus 18, verse 30. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse, chapter 6, verses 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, anyway, that's it for tonight. We run out of time. I think it's a very important thing to know. If you ever went to Washington, D.C. now, you'll have a very good outline of what you're seeing. And, you know, my prayer for all of us is that God will open our eyes and see the connections between the true God and the false God, the false statues that we see. And with that, I'm going to close with a song. And so anyway, thanks for coming. God bless you all, and we'll see you on the next broadcast.
I got a poor starting life, heading downhill real fast. Can't see the future, ain't recalling the past. I'm at the crossroad of life, stuck on the tracks. I can't go forward and I ain't going back. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, they say. You just got to live life day by day. Keep the faith, hold your head high, soar like an eagle and fly. I've been neglecting my family, I lost all my friends. Can't tell you where the day starts, don't know where it ends. I burnt all my bridges and spent my last dime. I've got my life on hold for an indefinite time. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, they say. You just got to live life day by day. Keep the faith, hold your head high, soar like an eagle.